Okay. Ready to start off as people coming in. We have our illustrious chairs of our breakout session on timeliness. And as we've done for the last couple of meetings, really in terms of getting the feedback from the different groups and sharing with the whole, as well as obviously providing the feedback and advice to the foundation, to try to use the opportunity of effectively me trying to chair a panel of getting feedback from the individual chairs. So we have, of course, so we have Goro, and I'm going to do it in the order of the groups. Oh, sorry, I should start here. Ariwan, Goro, Ton, and John as our chairs. And we had, if you remember, three key questions around timeliness that we addressed in our groups. What does timeliness mean to you? So if we can define what we mean by timeliness, maybe we can deal with that as an issue. Second question, how do we then balance that timeliness with the required due process? And have we got that balance right? And then how do we balance timeliness with stakeholder engagement? And have we got that balance right? Then, related to all of those, what are some of the things that we can do to improve upon to make that, if we think we haven't got that balance right, to try to improve our timeliness? And I'm going to sum up by asking each of the chairs from their groups whether or not they actually asked this in their group. Do we actually have an issue with timeliness? Or, in fact, are we all comfortable around the timeliness that we have? So I'm going to ask that as the final wrap-up question. But let's start with the first question. What does timeliness mean to you? In the plenary session, we all put up our table tennis bats, some of us having listened to the question or not, as the case may be, as to what the options were. And a number of us said all of those things. But Goro, perhaps your group, perhaps you would share with us where your group got to in terms of what you thought timeliness meant.
Okay. Thank you, Joanna. We observed that the overwhelming majority of the four members of the advisory council said that the all of the above, so the timeliness means all of the above, which means that the achievement of target dates and length of process and response time. But the quite interestingly that our group, that the most people are talking about that the length of process as a timeliness issue. For example, that the people, members of a group suggested that for example, that shorter the comment letter deadline, harder it is to formulate in an informed response, and the also 100-day comment letters period seemingly too lengthy, etc. All these are basically that the people's response or comments on the length of process are overwhelming the majority. While that some people suggested that the achievement of target dates is regarding the achievement of targets, that resource allocation is the key, and the one member suggested that if the process needs to be quicker. But these people are rather a minority. And also that all of the above, camp said that the timeliness is highly situational, so that timeliness it depend upon that the situation and driven by making commitments to the target date and also that the ensuring thorough consultation takes time, so etc. And also that one of the interesting question, as you know, that the it maybe they leave it that the to the maybe the final conclusion section. But some people, including myself, that timeliness may not be an issue.
Okay. And we will come back to that, Goro, as I said, at the end. So in your group, the length of the process was the key issue, if there ever was an issue, around timeliness. John, did your group have a similar view or a different view around what is timeliness?
Well,
what does timeliness mean?
We certainly didn't carry out a straw poll on this, but I would say that probably it was the length of the process and the responsiveness to emerging, time taken to respond to emerging issues, which seemed to surface as the main points by members of the group. The view on target dates, and again, this wasn't a consensus, but it was quite clearly expressed by some members, was that this is more a communication issue, or as much a communication issue as a timeliness issue. And the complexity of topics means that targets often are unlikely to be achieved, but the reasons need to be very clearly communicated to stakeholders, and the time implications, wherever possible, indicated.
Okay. Tom, on that, in terms of the targets, I think I'm right in saying that, that your group, from the notes that I've got here, did look a little bit about project management and around those target dates. Did you have anything, or was it RO1's group? One of them looked at target dates. You're looking blankly at me.
We didn't look at specific to target dates. What we noticed is a lot of things. Fortunately, Michelle was in the room, so she could make her own notes by all the various things which were expressed by my colleagues. And what was highlighted, that was 10 years ago, stakeholders' engagement was a problem for the ISB. Now they do a good job on stakeholders' engagement, and now all of a sudden timeliness is a problem. And some of the members are not convinced that it is really a problem. When we talk about timeliness, there are two issues important for people. There's the responsiveness to emerging issues when there is no standard, or when there is something coming up and there is divergence in practice, then it is important that there is a quick solution. So that is what I implicitly said. And also the length of the process is seen as an aspect of timeliness.
Ariwan, did your group have additional things around timeliness?
Well, the majority of the groups feels that, you know, to answer the question that was posed, it was all of the above, that they think meeting the target dates is important, because in a way that's the way that it affects the reputation of the foundation, that you're keeping your promise. And I think similar to other groups that was discussed, that if there's a need to be delay, then as long as you explain it and have a good reason to back up why was it delay, then I think that would be acceptable, as long as you maintain the level of quality that's required.
Okay, so I think what I'm hearing in terms of summary there is, as Goro said, probably foremost, the big issue, if there was one, is actually around the length of the process. So that is the key thing around timeliness. And the other things, and the communication, and we'll come to solutions perhaps when we get through the balance and how you look at the balance between due process, stakeholder engagement, and timeliness as to solutions. But communication definitely around some of the things seems to be a key, if you like, mitigant of those things, and the responsiveness to emerging issues seems to be coming through in terms of dealing with those in a timely fashion. So that's what I'm getting from what you've said there, and I think I'm getting nods from all of you. So after that then, so moving on to actually question two and saying, okay, there are those timeliness things. Ariwan, how did your team deal with the question around how do you actually balance that timeliness with the due process requirements?
I think from all of the questions that were discussed in our group, one of the common theme for all the questions is quality. As one of the group members rightly raised a comment that in the mission statements, the ISB is supposed to, you know, deliver high quality standards, not a quick standard. So it's I think the main objective is to deliver quality. And as long as you have quality and a good project management, then you could and be realistic about setting a target date. If something pops up during the process and it needs to be delayed, and explain and be explicit and be transparent about why it was delayed. If you think it's a problem with that is not as you know, the process is too long, then it needs, I think one of the groups discussed was that one of the way to address those is to do cause effect analysis, to really identify where is the problem, why it happened, and how to address those problems. And because the groups didn't have the, you know, all the information that we have, so it was kind of difficult to really identify what is really a root cause of the, you know, the problems that the foundation might perceive that they are facing. And during the process that the foundation do a project management, one to consider might be, you know, when consider the different stakeholders to engage, and maybe you need to consider the resources that are available to, you know, those stakeholders and the time it would require for them to do the engagement with the foundation, and and then maybe identify the potential roadblocks early on in the process. I think we did discuss a little bit about the comment period and whether it's too long, too short, and the common answer was that the comment periods, it's really should be scalable, so it depends on the projects, and the time required would be different from project to project. And also, now that all the big standards are pretty much done, now we might be stepping from standard setting process to implementation process. And in that way, instead of meeting the targets, now it might be more, the weight might go to the objective of being responsive enough to the issues raised from stakeholders. And one of the member that mentioned that to make it more responsive, maybe in a way it's I would just use it, his word, let's say a codification exercise, just to use common English. If you want to say one thing, then just use the same words to describe, you know, all the things that you want to describe. So it's easier and not get people confused about, you know, what it's actually meant in the standards.
Okay. Thank you. And I think that what you said up front in terms of, we are, of course, in our mission talking about quality standards, not quick standards, mm-hmm. is something that I think is very apt and something that we should think about. John, in terms of your group and the balance between due process and timeliness, did you have additional comments or different comments than Ariwan's group?
Well, I don't think our group actually considered the appropriateness of indicative timelines for different documents. Now, whether that indicates that they were content with the current mm-hmm. Consultation period, I don't know, but it didn't explicitly come out, nor did I ask it. I mean, one of the interesting things I thought, which probably fits within this bucket, is a view that meetings and outreach needs to be more flexible. Mm. I mean, an example of that was this morning when we were talking about whether the Advisory Council should be informed on moving projects from the research agenda to the standards agenda, and the view expressed was, well, if there's a strategic dimension to this, then yes, Council should be informed. But, you know, a view that didn't want to wait 6 months or 7 months to the next meeting. And there was a view that perhaps we should be using more video conferences, more targeted virtual meetings. and that the day of face-to-face physical meetings is really declining. Face-to-face meetings take considerable time to organise. They take very considerable commitment from participants. Not all participants are willing to give that commitment. And I thought there was an analogy with a discussion we had on conferences at one of the previous council meetings, where I think a number of participants challenged the idea of kind of three or four large global conferences. So a need really to be more nimble and flexible in outreach.
Thanks, John. And in some ways, what you've done is, and I think they are intertwined, between the balance between the due process and the stakeholder engagement side. Tom, perhaps just moving on to the stakeholder engagement side, which I think John has nicely led into for you. How do you believe we balance, or how did your group consider the balance between timeliness and stakeholder engagement?
Yes, we talked a lot about this balance. Mm. What we said is, first of all, that effectiveness of the ISB is very important. That means that standards should be of high quality and should be accepted, including the endorsement in the various jurisdictions, if applicable. And therefore, stakeholder outreach is very important to get a good view what people will accept by the end of the day. And in that sense, it was also said that early outreach is very important. We discussed the example of the discussion paper on risk management. The feedback the ISB got was that you have understand what is risk management, but you propose something that will not be operational, that is not good, we do not like it. And maybe by outreaching earlier in the process with proposals that are not fully developed, the ISB could have saved time and could have saved resources and could spend on other things. So what we see is that early outreach is very important. However, one of the members is afraid that an early outreach may drive the solution in a certain direction, so there might be more bias in it. So there should be a balance between the bias on one hand and the advantages of getting that early. Mm. Mm. What did we say more? Dynamic risk.
So can I just ask one question, just pursue a little bit, and it's come out of a couple of them. So we engage with stakeholders. We engage with stakeholders to help us to write the standards. We engage with stakeholders to make them feel included and to give us legitimacy. And we engage with stakeholders, and one of the questions in the comment letters question is around some stakeholders are more engaged than others and how do we engage with those who are less easy to. And I'm going to use a good English words again. Do we treat all stakeholders in a homogenous way, i.e. do we treat them all the same, and should we treat them all the same? So should we treat a stakeholder who we're seeking their agreement for legitimacy the same as a user who may not be particularly interested in dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's of a discussion paper, but is interested in the end output? Should we be treating them, did your groups, any of your groups, and I know a couple of them did because I was sitting there, discuss around that? Because is that part of the issue as to how we balance that, because we're treating everybody the same? in terms of that timeliness, and would it help if we didn't? Goro.
One of our discussion regarding that the challenge. Oh yes, a challenge of the board ISP is that the compared to the national standard setters, clearly that the ISP has more stakeholders, so that it is inevitable for the ISP to reach out that the every stakeholders. And also that regarding, we do not talk about that homogeneity, but it is quite difficult to measure that what would be the fair treatment for each stakeholder. that clearly that there are people who underrepresent, that these people tend not to understand the standards very easier compared to that the other group like auditors or preparers. Then also that maybe that stakeholders in Europe or in North America or some part of Asia maybe that quickly understand the new standards. But those people who underrepresented may have some trouble to understand the new standards. So to treat these people, maybe that the ISP needs more educational process than that the other stakeholders. So,
but in some ways that could be done in a different way in terms of, and therefore consider the timeliness in terms of when that happens, as opposed to all the way through the process. Ton, further, did your group have further discussion around that?
We started to say that a lot of papers are rather thick, complex. It's very time-consuming to consist them. But then it was, and especially for users. And then it was noted by the people from the ASB in our group that there is now the snapshot for the users to explain rather simple what will be the effect of the proposals for them. And that was seen as a good development, which was not noticed by everybody, to be honest.
Any further comments on that? Ariwan, do you want to make a comment?
Well, this issue actually was raised in our group. And I think the questions was, as part of the project management, I think the clarification that we get from the staff in the room was that there were the plan meetings, the stakeholders that the staff know that they have to get the feedback from, and there were those meetings that were requested by the stakeholders, and you sort of the ISB members sort of maybe say yes to those meetings so that the stakeholders feels inclusive to the process. And we didn't quite reach the consensus on what is the right balance on that. But from the comments that were discussed in the room, it was in leaning towards it's important for the stakeholders to feel that they're included in the process, and it would improve the legitimacy of the IFRS. And in a way, it's like getting a buy-in from the people who would be affected by the IFRS. And we in the room, I think it was totally understandable that It has to be a balance because it takes up the resources, those unplanned meetings. But it's important too for people who involved and who would be affected by the standards to feel that they are listened to.
A number of members of our group identified preparers as a difficult group to reach, particularly in the early stages of a project, that they tend to have shorter time horizons, and unless they can see the impact on them, they're not often prepared to devote the resources. And that particularly applies to the discussion paper stage, or if they have a view that this is going to be the first of multiple exposure drafts of a proposed pronouncement. So that's really identifying a problem rather than giving any firm solution to how to resolve it. But just to note that there was this identification of preparers as difficult to actually reach.
Just before, because we're nearly out of time here, and we could go on for a long time, but I don't intend to, but I do want to raise the question that Suresh raised when we were in the plenary session around external benchmarking. And I don't know whether any of you discussed that in your groups around what others do and how others grapple with this issue and external benchmarking. Goro, I think Suresh was in your group, so did he raise it and did you discuss it, sorry Suresh, in your group around that external benchmarking, and is that something that you think that we should be considering?
Actually, Suresh is not our, is not in our member, but still that the one of our member suggested that benchmarking exercise needed if you wish to accurately measure yourself against ensuring timeliness. But at the same time, that the you know the so that it not benchmarking, but the rather that the you know the I'm sorry that the the challenging is that the it is very challenging to assess the proportionality. Mm. Yeah. So that the benchmarking. Mm. Is very important, but it's quite difficult to exercise.
Okay. Did others talk about it, Tom?
Implicitly, we did. What are the pairs? Mm. When you are using benchmarks, you need pairs. What is the pair of the I? What is the pair of the ISB? Very difficult.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say that we didn't explicitly. Discuss that. I mean, certainly that's something I'd be interested in because I think, you know, national standard setters are battling with this issue as much as global standard setters. And, you know, the phrase time to market is constantly used to the extent I've got rather tired of it.
But the question is, can you... What, can you compare a national standard setter with the ISB who has to deal with all kind of different jurisdictions and a national standard setter has to cope only with one jurisdiction?
Absolutely, I think that's a very good point to highlight.
But there may well be some peers. Okay, I'm going to now ask you that yes or no question for each of you. Do we have an issue with timeliness, or is it purely a perception that arguably can be solved with some of the solutions that we've talked about, the main one perhaps being communication? Ariwan.
Well, I think we didn't quite explicitly discuss this. Maybe it's a combination of both. Personally, for some stakeholders, if they don't get their questions answered quickly enough, then they feel that there's a problem with timeliness. And I think in a way, from the general discussions that we had in our group, what we feel is that it's not the length of the comment period or the whole due process. It's whether if you... It's about you explain and you be transparent about what is being done, and as long as it's valuable, things are getting considered during those process. And I think it wouldn't be a problem.
Okay, Goro, I think you semi answered it at the beginning.
Yes, actually we discussed this and the. It is quite interesting that the overwhelming majority of this floor said that the all of the above are the problem. Mm-hmm. But in our group, quite a few people said that are we convinced that the timeliness is an issue? And we, these people, including myself, said the no. Mm-hmm. And the quality trumps time. So that the in order to make that the quality, as Ariman suggested, that in order to develop a quality standards that the is more important than timeliness. Yeah. And the one member suggested that there is a risk for too quick rather than too slow.
Tom?
In our group, I think most of the members believe that timeliness is more perception than a fact. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Communication is key mm-hmm, to make mm-hmm, clear mm-hmm, where mm-hmm, are you. Mm-hmm. However, in terms of emerging issues, there are some concerns expressed. For example, the library issue was mentioned in that respect, mm. and that was when you was in the room and asking, "What has this to do?"
John?
I think the answer is yes. It would be really rather myopic to disregard the timeliness issue, which has clearly surfaced from a number of quarters. Nevertheless, our group ended with a view that the quality of the standards is more important than the actual timetable. And the focus should be on delivering high-quality standards. Standards shouldn't be rushed. And some felt, rightly or wrongly, that there's a tendency to try and push through standards in the final stages. I think that, from my perspective, is actually quite a balanced viewpoint on the whole thing.
So, me trying to sum that up, first of all, to say thank you to each and every one of you in the room for your contribution, but in particular these four who've come up here and been prepared to be grilled by me. And in summary, I think where I've got to try and make a two-line summary, is that there is a perception of timeliness. It is not a major. It is the fact is that quality trumps time. And we need to be very stand up tall and be prepared to accept the fact, or be prepared to say, quality trumps time. However, that we should not ignore the timeliness perception. Perception is reality, is that phrase, and that communication is probably one of the biggest tools, mitigants, that we can or should use to assist around that timeliness. I think there is a lot more granularity has come out both in what you've said here and in the notes that your teams have put and the people have got from the groups. So once again, thank you to everybody for your input into that area. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanna.